I remember some of the things we were thinking about is how to identify, you know, the talking book, you know, we mentioned like three or four places, like the talking book library, even now Newsline. I mean, some of those places would, you know, combinations, I suppose even the, you know, NFB, ACB, you know, those lists would probably, and OAB, I mean, those would probably give you about as comprehensive a list as you could come up with in the state of just of blind people. And we talked about maybe in a talking book library, the interchange that's already going out as a mailing, to possibly combine it with that. Just trying to do something to be comprehensive but not cost a ton of money, too.
Were you finished, Bob?
Yeah.
Okay, Fatosh?
One place will be very good and very cheap and will not cost any money is to put the survey in the website, mm-hmm. so that people can access and do it.
Great idea. Mm-hmm. But excuse me, Madam Chair, but what about survey design then? I mean, do we care about that?
Oh yeah, we would care about it. We would work on it. I mean, we would make sure that it was as good as it could be. I mean, another option is to hire a private firm, but certainly we need to get started on it.
And the website will be on board.
Right.
We would. I'm assuming that would be in addition to other forms of doing it, so that.
Oh yes.
There wouldn't. You know, people who don't.
Exactly, because I mean,
do that
some
wouldn't.
People that doesn't have an access to computers.
Yeah,
right.
Maybe even on the interchange, people could be invited to call. I don't know how you'd want to work that. If someone, you know, who would actually administer the survey, if they could, you know, if that would be a productive use of time, maybe it wouldn't. To call the agency if somebody would conduct the survey. Because if you sent out a printed survey, you know, to blind people, you're right off the bat running into problems because there's
right.
a lot of people aren't going to be able to deal with that. But you know, probably a good many would.
Madam Chairman.
Yes.
This is Peg Hollerson. There is. I don't know if we've thought about this, but there are now. Improved and different phone technologies to do surveys as well. And I mean, if we could figure out a way to get it donated or have it be cost effective, that's another option. I know that recently there was one of the things that we did in the Federation that was working with a website and they wanted to know about accessibility and needs and such like that. They did a survey by phone. I don't know how viable that is, but it's another option. Most people have a telephone.
If you could rent just like a device for a month or two or something, hook up to a phone and they call and get the, you know, question and then hit one for yes, two for no,
right.
or whatever, that wouldn't be too expensive.
Okay. Did you want to say something, Bill?
No.
Oh, I thought for some reason that you did.
No, I was just thinking about something that happened yesterday. Somebody, one of these surveys called me, and I said, oh, come on, please. So I hung up. Pretty soon they called back and said, you want $1 million now. What do you think about that, Bill?
So, oh, boy.
Just a little thought.
Yeah, you know, one thing about it, the different approaches are going to reach different people. Because when I get those calls to do a survey, you know, I want to know how many, if it's three questions, fine. If it's going to take 15 minutes, I don't have it.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, they suck you in by telling you to just take a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
I was speaking of sort of a more automated survey where people can call.
I understand.
That's what I was speaking of.
Yeah, I just was saying there's a lot of different ways you could do this, and probably the best approach is a multi-tiered approach that has different parts of it.
And it might be hard to do if the information was more qualitative, but if you, you know, if you were looking for quantitative things, the phone thing would work.
Right. Okay, do we need to do any more on that? Do you, you know, like have enough suggestions?
I feel like I have a lot of good ideas and...
Okay.
Okay, then we will need to do an attachment that has to do with our impartial hearing and mediation process. In the current state plan, we have it set up that the if either the agency or an individual want to go to impartial hearing, we do the impartial hearing and then the decision is rendered, and if the decision is not liked by either party, either the commission or the individual, then it, that decision gets reviewed by someone in the governor's office. And then following that, you can take it to take civil action. Well, the governor's office is does not want to do that for us. They feel, number one, that they don't know anything about rehab. They don't know anything about the, you know, what we do. The impartial hearing officers, although you know, separate enough to be blanking out on words, they would be fair, they would be impartial hearing officers. They would be knowledgeable in the Rehab Act and in what services should be, what issues are there. And so, and they're attorneys. So the governor's office met with me and said, we think you really should just, after an impartial hearing officer comes up with their decision, if it isn't liked, then you should just go to civil action and not have yet another layer and yet another somebody in there that maybe doesn't, that they certainly don't feel like they would know as much as the impartial hearing officers. And I thought that was, you know, made a lot of sense. That was, and the other thing about it is it's not, there are a lot of steps that can be gone through before it gets even to the impartial hearing level. When an individual has a complaint or a question or a concern, they talk to their counselor, they go to the supervisor, they go to the district or the deputy directors, they call me. You know, they certainly have the commissioners they can go to. Quite often it's through in those stages of initial kind of arm wrestling that we can come to a solution that the person is happy with, you know, and that we can stand behind. And so, in fact, we've never had any impartial hearings. So, you know, the if it gets to the point where they want an impartial hearing, then you can guarantee a lot of work has already been done to try to come to something that's going to work for the person. And so, you know, I feel pretty confident that we've done right by, you know, we will have by then put in plenty of time and, you know, attempted to come up to a good solution. And if it really isn't resolved, then they should probably be able just to take it on to court. And then, of course, the other piece of it is mediation. We do now offer, and we have a contract with the Nebraska Mediation Centers to offer that. If an individual wants to have a formal mediation process to resolve any problem with their services or any decision that was made by a commission staff member, we will do that, and that's written into this plan as well. So I guess I want to make sure everybody's okay with that change and going that direction.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sensible.
Great. Okay. That is all. So So is it acceptable then that I do a similar thing with the Rehab Council, get input from the public forum and finalize and then send to, I'm thinking I would send to the commissioners and the Rehab Council for your review if you wanted to.
That sounds reasonable to me.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
And so that information that we got that talks about the state plan, that was those attachment kinds of changes that you were talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Trying to make sure I'm thinking of the right information that we got.
It was sent at the same time as the Title VII.
That 107 monitoring review thing?
No.
Oh.
Now I can't remember what it was called. Let's see. United States Department of Education, Office of Special Education and Rehabilitative Services, Rehabilitation Service Administration, Information Memorandum was
okay.
the thing that had, it was
yes.
19th of January.
Yes, and
yeah, it was sounding awfully familiar.
Right. We received a regional office memorandum January 31st that followed up on that information memorandum and was a little more clear and concise than
okay.
the one from Washington was.
Okay. Yeah.
So that
I was saying, well, you got that out of that? Okay.
Yeah.
I tried.
Okay. Then can I move to policies?
Yes.
Okay. I really have not gotten any further with the policies except to be gathering anytime I come across something that either relates to what policies we should have or is a policy or, you know, an issue that we need to have policy on possibly. I've been putting it all together and I just have not gotten to the issue of, or, you know, I haven't been able to sit down and work on policy. Now with 788 hopefully behind us, the budget stuff pretty much is out there. There's nothing more we can do on that right now, except we're figure out how we can manage our current budget. But anyway, some of the big projects that have been time-consuming are pretty well accomplished. The finishing up of the state plan will be some time, but not as bad. Anyway, so now I feel like I can be putting attention to that.
Well, you did send us the weather policy, and I certainly see no problem with that. I don't know, does anybody?
I think it was fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fine. What sort of it was my understanding that we were under some sort of timeline for implementation of the policies. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. We need to have our own set of policies by July 1. But the state plan's due April 1. I mean, you know, we just keep plugging. I'll get stuff to you as soon as I can.
It will be done on time.
Yes, it will. It will.
So does anyone have any other comments or questions about that?
No.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Jan Ludwig here. Is this the time to bring up Dorothy's question about Pearl having to take vacation?
For funeral leave for staff.
Yes, if we don't have anything else, you know, specific to, you know, anything that we've received so far, any of that, then yes, this is the time.
Okay, I mean, this is my own personal opinion that it is part of Pearl's job to attend staff, you know, when funerals or their relatives' funerals. I think that's a part of her job as maintaining good relationship with staff, and so I don't think she should be taking vacation time to do that. Is that, am I making myself clear? Or?
Well, of course, they do have policy, statewide mm-hmm. employment policies for funeral leave, so forth, your the relationship and so forth. I don't know if that deals with the supervisors or not, whether or not.
I'm sure it probably doesn't.
It does not, it does deal with it, it does not allow it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had pretty clear messages
right.
in specific situations before where DAS, the overall administrative services of state government, really do not approve that we spend state time on something that, you know, you're right, if, you know, it has to do with morale and a connection to staff, and I think it's important, but it's not what we pay tax dollars for. So I appreciate you bringing up, but I'm very happy to use vacation time for that sort of thing. And I can't always get to things if something's further away, or if it's like if there was something this week, I would not have been there, you know. So, but when I can, I try to do that.
Now, is this the kind of thing where, I guess on a broader issue, where we are, as a state entity, bound by the state policy on that issue?
Well, that's one of the things as I really begin to look closely at policies. There are, there's some that cover all state agencies, and you cannot do anything different. And then there's like another tier where you have discretion within the agency. So I believe this is one that we do not have discretion. Most of the things that have to do with personnel, we don't have a lot of discretion. But I'll certainly, if I learn something different, I'll let you know.
Okay.
And there is comp, isn't there? I mean, you could...
Yeah, I mean...
Work a couple hours later. I mean, you can transfer that. I mean, there's some flexibility in that.
You can. There is and there isn't. Really, for administrative-level jobs, there isn't. You really are expected to be available. You know, you're just... That's your life, and that's that. You know? So we do flex it out. I mean, I don't... Every time I go to the dentist or go get my allergy shot, I don't take sick time. But if it's a chunk of time, and especially if I'm kind of doing something in the public, I do go ahead and claim the time. But certainly I have plenty of extra time that I put in that would comp out if I were moved to do that.
Oh, yeah.
So. Now, people within the 40-hour week, the folks who are covered by the labor contract, that's real strict, and we watch that pretty carefully, and I really think that's a good thing. I think we kind of used to expect all of our staff to be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I think people need a little distance from their work as well as their other commitments, so that's different. But as I learn more about policies and go through all that, I'll certainly be communicating.
Okay, and you had another question, Dorothy, about suing?
Well, question like, can a client or, say, an employee sue the commissioners as individuals?
I can answer that. I dealt with that for years and years and years and years and years. as a commissioner, you're actually considered as a state employee, and so you fall under the State Tort Claims Act. They can't sue you, but they could sue the commission. In order to do that, they'd have to file a claim against the state, go before the State Claims Board. If they turn it down, you file claimant files a action in the district court within 6 months. But they sue the state, they don't sue you. The state's liable since you're an employee of the state. So if somebody sues you for action you take as a commissioner, then you notify the commission and they have to respond to the claim, not you.
Okay.
You can't be held liable.
Okay.
And that's that's the same thing with something you should know too, coming back and forth on your... If you come from South Sioux City to Omaha or Lincoln specifically for that purpose of attaining the commission, when you're actually on work for the commission, which would be coming down to Lincoln or going back there because that's your only purpose, the state insurance follows your car. You're covered under the state's liability insurance. So if you have an accident, it's your fault. Then the state's liability insurance, not your own liability insurance, takes effect. So something for all the commissioners to realize that, or any state employee. That,
mm-hmm. What about disability and life insurance?
Oh, I don't think
you've got that. Then you have to be actually a state employee.
Right.
Now, Bill did kind of say you are, but we had to look at whether a rehab council member could claim unemployment insurance after they went off of the council.
No, they're not employed.
And they're not, you know, so it would be...
See, I was thinking,
well,
say...
Because it's an appointed position.
Because, yeah.
Yeah,
your state tort, your Tort Claims Act, that's an entire, it's a,
no,
a limited type of surrender of sovereignty, so it can't come, but, and
say,
that's since you're an employee, but all the other senses you're not.
I would say, just for example, we drive out on the interstate, somebody clobbers us, and we end up in the hospital. We're not claimed, then the state doesn't pay our hospital bill or anything like that?
No, but you yourself could go file a claim against the state. You could go through the tort claims procedure.
And plus, Pearl would have to take vacation time to come visit you.
Right, that's right.
Two hours too.
Oh, dear.
That's good. So, yeah, it sounds complicated. So, did that answer your question?
Right, right.
Just don't have an accident.
Right.
Yeah. Just try not to do that.
Please.
Probably come out of the commission budget then.
Okay, and we have another item on the agenda. Adjustment to blindness and visual impairment, the thought provokers. And Robert Newman is here to tell us about that.
All right, yeah, thank you, Madam Chairman. So, you know, actually we have quite a few, I think, staff folks that professionally during work hours and or on their own time privately, you know, write some articles and put some material out that I think is doing some good things around the state, the country, and maybe even the world. And Pearl just emailed me a little while ago and just asked me if I knew that you as commissioners knew that I was doing this and that she thought it was important for me to make sure you did know. And of course, I'd like to have her sometime present to you just what everyone else is doing too, because I think we have some folks out there doing some really wonderful things. But you know, on my own time, I do have this website called Adjustment to Blindness and Visual Impairment. I put in about 16, 20 hours a week on it. It's been in existence since September of 98. And what it is, this website, of course, it's open to the entire world. And it has two main features to it. Thought Provoker is the one, and I'll get explain it a little bit more in a second. It's a peer counseling discussion forum is what it is. But I also have a section on there of short stories. Again, stories that I've written and a couple that have been written by a couple of other folks. I'm looking for more material there. And again, those short stories, all the main characters are blind and they're dealing with their adjustment to blindness in life itself. So they're all educational. In fact, this whole thing is designed to, as I say, to help folks realize the potential of the human ability to live, you know, successfully with blindness. That's the whole point of this thing. And it kind of melds two of my passions. One is this whole blindness thing. I've been with the agency for over 27 years. I've been an active member of a consumer group, you know, all during that time and before. So it just kind of put my life this blindness stuff, you know. And it also, I like stories. I like to hear them. I like to tell them. And I like to write them. So it's a blend of all of those. And again, a thought provoker, what that is, it's a super short story. You know, 100 words, less than 300 words, and it incorporates an issue of blindness and presents it hopefully in a provocative way that provokes thought. And people join this forum is one way to read these things. You can go to my website and read them because they're all there. But the folks that are in the forum are members of a support group, you might say. And they receive these thought provokers once a week. And I just had one going at a time, one new one at a time, runs for 4 weeks. And again, people in the forum get these, and if they wish to respond to it, they write back to me, then I take these and put them in a list in one email message, and then that's what goes out every week. I started out with maybe like 45 people as part of the forum. I now have, as of this morning, 410. And I have people from around the world, from 17 different countries. A lady just yesterday joined from the Philippine Islands. And of course, it covers all the five continents. So I'm reaching out with this, and it's out there for the world to take a part in. As I say, that all the thought provokers are there to be read and responded to at any time. And I get people going right back to the first one I put out. I'll get the responses for it. I'll update it on my website. There are 39 thought provokers on there right now, and there's 8 short stories. And just some of the good, I guess I'm saying, this thing's doing is I get emails all the time from people, and I'll have one read to you, a short one that I received a couple days ago. But for example, the Irish government once used my website to get input on some of the testing they're doing for people that want to work for the Irish government. So they use some of my website material and one of my thought provokers to get some information they needed to know if they were really fairly asking of their testing, was it fair to folks who are applying. Some of my material has been used in college classrooms, it's been used in schools for the blind, the schools that deal with dog guides, of course, lots of private individuals. I've had some people working on their advanced degrees, like the master level and or doctoral, use some of the material. It's just, I think, reaching out, and it's good to be recognized. It's a lot of fun for me. Con, if you have a second here.
Sure.
I've got one here from a lady that, just wrote to me a couple days ago, so I'll let Connie just kind of share with you kind of what some of the feedback I'm getting from people.
Dear Mr. Newman, my mother at age 91 has recently lost almost all of her vision to macular degeneration. She has just a bit of peripheral vision in one eye. She, a vibrant and alive woman who until just recently volunteered in her church, entertained in her home, traveled and lived a full life. She is quite depressed and is trying to cope. Mostly she misses reading and creating photo books of old and family photos, a task that has become her hobby. Your Thought Provoker page has served two purposes so far, and I thank you. I sent one story to my brothers and sisters just to help enlighten the family on how mother may be feeling. It was well received. I also read one story to my mother, and it sparked conversation on an important topic. Thank you for your website. I hope to continue to access it. My mother and I both have a question. How do you and those members of your audience that have no sight read and write on the computer? Do you have machines that read aloud to you? Just how, practically speaking, do you do this? My mother is willing to try almost anything, although she does have trouble with understanding some technology. She misses reading most of all, but I'm not sure if she is up to learning Braille at this point. She also misses her privacy. My brother and sister read her bills, write her checks, and know how she spends every penny. She is grateful for their help, but she feels very dependent and that she can no longer make decisions like this on her own without everyone knowing. In your biography, you mentioned JAWS and Window Eyes. I will search for these online. Any advice about the past companies or devices for those who have lost their sight that will help them adjust would be greatly appreciated. Thank you for your time and advice. Martha Buchanan.
So I was going to just say, in my job, I have a caseload, a VR caseload, an independent living caseload. I also carry this international one, too. I get several questions like that a week. I get some people that will write back and forth about 5-6 times until their cases close, as it were, But anyway, it's just been fun for me, and it's something that, I would like to at some point. I've started to seek some, but I need to work a little bit harder on it. Like grant and monies that maybe could come to the commission that would allow me to spend, maybe 100% or the majority of myself on this. Because I also have, and I could do a lot more with this website because there's only so many hours in the day, And I also have like 5 novels that I've started, you know, that's all again deal with blindness. So I wish I could have more time to work on those, because again, it all gets out there and educates, you know, the world, the people, just on again the human ability to deal with blindness. So anyway, so that's what I'm doing. But again, I say sometime you got to hear what some of our other folks are doing too.
Well, we appreciate your bringing this to us. I certainly have been a thought provoker reader since practically the beginning. It was shortly after they started, I think, that I got a computer where I could actually get them. The one before didn't have any internet access or even email or whatever. But it does, you know, there are people write in with all manner of comments and whatever. I mean, it certainly does, a lot of the things do spark sometimes controversy, sometimes just a variety of opinions. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to me.
What do you do in your spare time?
I think my wife is not a, well, you know, sometimes the wives can be a football widow, you know, TV stuff. Well, I'm on the computer.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
You didn't list the places that it's being used, but we use it at the center a lot for our seminars and also staff training.
And I've seen some of his material on the NFB listservs. So when I came to Nebraska, I knew who Robert Newman was.
Thank you, Robert. Could I make one other
announcement? Sure.
I'll be speaking at the ACBN State Convention April 21st and 22nd, and also the national representative coming to that meeting is Charlie Crawford, who's the national president, and I've invited him to come and tour the center. I haven't told Dosis yet, but...
Dosis, it's a consolation. I knew about it before you did.
But he did let me know that he's going to make his schedule work so that he can... do that. So I'm excited about that.
I didn't get copied on his email with that. So.
We'll be ready.
Yes, we'll.
Where's that convention at?
It's in Lincoln.
Airport Inn.
What? Best Western Airport Inn.
Yeah. So show up. We want you there.
I hear you're buying the drinks, Jim.
Absolutely. First round.
I heard you have good water.
Thank you. That's all.
Okay. Let's see. We had talked a little bit at some point or another about the accounting and disclosure information. So far, the materials that we got tell us that we are not obligated to do that. They probably will redo their plans and so forth at some point, and we can probably anticipate somebody within our entity needing to do that. But as of right now, if anybody asks you about that, the answer is that we don't need to do that. Is there other business that anyone has that we need to deal with before we talk about locations and dates and times and things like that? It is very quiet.
Isn't that nice?
I would suggest that that must mean that there isn't anything else that we need to do before we talk about that time and date and location thing.
Thank you.
So where and when?
Did we talk about going out west?
To Lincoln, you mean?
Said by a true Omaha.
To Lincoln, you mean?
Yes, we have talked about it, and we are seriously intentional to go a lot further west than
York.
Than Lincoln. Now, if we are going to respond, you know, to the plan thing, we don't really actually need to meet before that's due or anything like that. Am I
I believe that is correct.
Okay. So the next thing that compels us to meet would be what?
Well, policies.
Yes.
There's a whole set of requirements about making state policy. Public forums are required, and I don't know everything, but I know that there's a rather rigid process that has to be followed.
So if they're due by the 1st of July, we better meet in time to have time for public forums and things.
Mm-hmm. Now, we do have a meeting May 5th that at least is on my calendar. The State Rehab Council meeting would be that morning and the Commission Board that afternoon, and those would be in Omaha.
If I can jump in very quickly, I think the reason for that meeting was set up, was it not, at least the thought of the State Rehab Council, was to begin the streamlined process of the two entities to weed out the unnecessary business the SRC does. That was my understanding why they were set up simultaneously.
I think that was an issue. That might not have been the only thing, but yeah, that was an issue we wanted to.
Should I be remembering knowing about that?
About the meeting?
January 2 meeting.
We've talked about more at the SRC.
Oh, okay. Oh, maybe I really am going over the edge. That is totally brand new information to me.
Oh, really? Well, is it possible that the council set a meeting and we're kind of recommending that the commission?
I think that must have been it, because it never came before the commission.
No.
I think that was, because it was done in November.
Never heard that.
Since the SRC was going west for their February meeting.
Right. That's right. Well, would the commission board like to meet on May 5th?
It's already set in stone.
Well,
no, not really.
Actually, I mean, you know, if we need to be serious about meeting in the western part of the state, we did make a commitment.
I really think so.
To do that.
We have the rest of the year to accomplish that.
We had a request from, what was it, a consumer?
Yes, well, more than one consumer has requested that.
And I think the policy, that's more of a matter for the commission anyway, isn't it?
Yes.
Because one thought was for the SRC, now it's a governor-appointed thing, to make the SRC under the commission, and just streamlining things for the new reality of the setup and eliminate duplication and try and make them work together and not duplicate.
Right. I think that was the reason for the...
Yeah, and that does make sense.
Yeah. And that can be worked... I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
That can be worked on. It doesn't have... We wouldn't have to have joint meetings to address that, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either, really. When...
Now, the public forums, they would have to be held before we... approved thing.
I don't really know how that. I don't know how that works. To be honest, I'll be learning that. I'll let you know what I learn, but I don't know yet.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
If it were anything like what I observed a lot of state government, I mean, you would submit a draft, and then it would be you'd have comment from the public forums, and then make whatever modifications. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the basics of it. But I have been made to understand that there are some things we have to follow that I have to learn about. So.
Well, my proposition would be that we do the May 5th joint, and then we do the August one in Kearney, North Platte, York, Gretna, someplace west.
How about
West Omaha.
That's right.
Fremont's West Street.
Famous Dave's at 173rd Center. Elkhorn.
I'm sure everybody liked to go back to Valentine, wouldn't they?
I think that ought to be done at least every 10 years.
Yeah.
At the risk of being considered sort of, I don't know, strict, I think we need to be truly considerate of the fact that a good bit of the time people come from as far away as we're talking about going in order to make connections with these entities, and I seldom hear complaints of that kind. And so, you know, I think we really need to be careful about the kinds of comments we make, because I think those can be taken seriously. And you know, this travel and being available is definitely a two-way deal. And so I think if we're going to do the May thing in Omaha again, we need to already have a definite plan for going west at some time, because, you know, by July we will have been in existence for a year. And so far we haven't done that. And if we don't do that until August, we're actually going through our first whole year without ever doing that. I don't feel real good about that myself.
I don't either.
Well, I think it just partly gets into the realities of the state geography, that you just don't do west more than once a year. And
but we did make a commitment to do it once a year, and we thought we were going to be doing it, I think, the meeting after this one. And now we're talking about not doing that. And that's a common thing that folks out there get to hear and deal with.
You know, if we have a specific meeting scheduled for August out there, then that's their meeting.
Well, so is this one. You know, I don't want us to be...
Well, I thought one concern, too, was because of the duplication of effort for the commission staff, that it is a lot more convenient for them to do a joint whenever possible, because there's a lot of duplication of effort. And
keeping in mind the SRC meets in August as well, so.
And has that location been set yet?
No, that's Mike's job next week. I think we got something on the agenda next week.
How about that? You know, another possibility would be, since the Rehab Council was not able to meet in Kearney in February, and instead we're doing March 3rd, you know, video conferencing. And nothing's set up for Omaha for May 5th yet.
No, yeah, that would,
you know,
be,
that we could possibly change the Rehab Council meeting to further west.
I don't
care. It is set.
It is set up?
May 5th in Omaha. It's in the minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I did check just the other day. I noticed that.
Oh, okay.
In the...
Never mind.
In the
SRC minutes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and as far as...
Okay. But if no arrangements have been made, could it be changed at the next SRC meeting? The one next week?
March 3rd, that could be discussed.
I would be terribly surprised if it wasn't possible to change the meeting location.
Has anything actually been done about setting up that meeting?
That's what
in Omaha.
The May 5th?
Yeah.
No.
Well, I guess, I mean, I feel really strongly about the commitment that we made. And I think if the SRC is willing to consider that,
Madam Chair?
I think we really ought to honor what we said we'd do.
Madam Chair?
Mike, yes.
I'm just wondering if maybe Mr. Arrest or Mr. Yurok would support me on the idea of maybe having the meeting May 5th in Kearney instead of Omaha.
I certainly would.
I'll go along with that. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
we shouldn't get
we missed the meeting in Kearney anyway, you know. I would, you know, feel real comfortable in suggesting that we move out to Kearney if that would suit the commission as well.
Okay, is there a specified reason for having the order of the meetings as they were?
Streamline the process.
That is the SRC meeting in the morning and the commission one in the afternoon? Was there a...
I don't think there's anything magic about that.
I think, as Bob alluded to earlier, I know I'm not on the commission, but I think, as Bob alluded to earlier, I think is one was to begin streamlining the process, and two, to make it more convenient on staff, so they're not giving up two weekends as opposed to one. Yes, it makes it a long day for them, but I think that they'd probably rather have that than giving up two Saturdays in May, given graduation and weddings and whatever else comes up.
Mother's Day.
The main thing about having the SRC meeting in the morning is, I guess, because you've got more people that got to travel.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so my concern, I guess, partly is that if there is a time frame set for it, that it stay within that, so that we can stay within one.
We'll make sure Connie's there.
Yeah, we need
to. So then I'll make the motion that we have the May 5th meeting in Kearney.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we have the May 5th meeting of the Board of Commissioners in Kearney. Is there a time in that motion or not?
Well, I guess if the SRC, if there's any reason for, you know, for their...